May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So, it's an interesting piece of timing that on the heels of the first week of school for so many young people in our area, that here in church too, we're seeing instruction in most of our readings this morning. The Old Testament lesson this morning was a how to get yourself ready to leave this horrible time of slavery in Egypt and embark on your journey to the Promised Land instruction booklet, right? The things that one needs to do in order to get ready to go. And God's faithfulness in his promise as well. Right down to not only marking their doorposts so that the plague would pass over them, but also how to roast the lamb, and what to do with the leftovers, what to wear to get ready for their escape from Egypt to head on their long exodus from slavery to the Promised Land. The next set of instructions we heard were from Paul to the Romans, not as detailed as last week, but still clear and directive. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make good choices and look to Jesus for your guidance. That's a pretty good teaching right there, right? Love your neighbor, make good choices, and look to Jesus. And then we have our gospel reading. And I'm going to come back to that. But I want to start by telling you that last month in Wominji, I was blessed to do both baptismal prep and with three different young families and confirmation classes with the youth. And of course, as you all know, generally speaking, confirmation is the time when folks, most often young people, confirm the promises that were made for them as infants at their baptism. And this, of course, gave me the opportunity, both with the baptismal group and with the confirmation kids, to walk through the various promises that we make or that are made for the infants at baptism. And I especially wanted the confirmation kids to understand the promises that they were saying yes to, because they were making an adult choice, and I wanted them to understand what this adult choice means, what they're saying yes to. And these promises, of course, as you all know, include going to church and reading scripture, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, striving for justice and peace, and respecting the dignity of every human being and caring for creation. But the one promise I most specifically want to focus on here this morning is the second promise. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? The answer, of course, being, I will with God's help. As most of you know, one of the many things I appreciate about our baptismal promises is that in each case, the answer is, I will with God's help, right? It's a very honest recognition that none of us can do these things just of our own sheer willpower. We need God. We need God to help us. With God's help, all things are possible. Now, which of course echoes the words from the Ephesians that we end our Eucharist services with. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And as I talked with the folks up north, the same kind of honesty and grace is reflected in this question and promise. No one is expected to falsely pretend that as of their baptism or at their confirmation, suddenly, because they're making these promises, this commitment to Jesus, that suddenly they're going to be perfect and will never ever again sin. That's setting up a false expectation, isn't it? And so the question, will you persevere or try your best in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Built right into that promise is not only the ideal of, with God's help, doing your very best, but also the recognition that you will from time to time fall short. You know, it's not if you fall into sin. It's whenever you fall into sin. Because all of us do from time to time. Not if, but when. understanding and reflection that we are all imperfect and we will from time to time sin, no matter how hard we try. But we can know and trust in God's grace and mercy that we can repent and return to the Lord, where we will, of course, be welcomed. And the same is true in our gospel reading. Of course, the ideal is good relationships. The ideal is good relationships, and that we all get along well, and that we love and support and back each other with great respect. That's the perfect picture, right? And I would say, generally speaking, here in this place, we do a pretty good job of that. Yeah? We do a pretty good job of all that. However, as is noted in our gospel reading, from time to time, there is conflict. And how do we, as a faith community, navigate that? How do we reconcile and come to a place of peace? Some very basic steps, as we heard, right? Have a one-on-one conversation. Go talk to the person. Don't talk about them. Go talk to them, right? Have a one-on-one conversation. And if you're not listened to, bring along one or two others to witness to the conversation. Not to gang up, but to witness the conversation. Make sure that each other is hearing the other. And then the next level, if that doesn't work out, take it to the church. Work it out in your loving faith community. Again, it's not about shaming. It's about working it out in your faith community where you are both loved and valued. It's about trying to work it through in the context of a community that loves you both. This is really important stuff, and it's hard. It's not easy, because human nature is, you know what she said. And that's not who we're called to be as people of faith. We're called to sort it out. And then I love the final part of that verse. If the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Do we just throw him under the bus? Gentile and tax collector? No. It's not about exiling them, casting them out. It almost looks like that on the surface, though, doesn't it? Until you stop and think. Who was giving this instruction? It's Jesus that was giving the instruction, right? And why was Jesus often in conflict with the religious authorities? He was in conflict with them for hanging out with Gentiles, and tax collectors, and sinners, for spending time with them, for loving them, for offering to them the gifts of love and grace, inviting them in onto the journey of faith. So it's not at all about casting them aside, but instead, loving them back into the family of faith. We don't get mad and walk away. As tempting as that sometimes is, don't get mad and walk away. Love them back into relationship, right? It's curious, or perhaps not at all curious, but very telling, that on the heels of that verse, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So on the heels of whatever that conflict is, Jesus is calling you to work towards healing, right? To bring them back into right relationship. Because you have a responsibility in the outcome. Each one of us has a responsibility in the outcome of conflict. It's exactly the opposite of how some may well hear, treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile. It's not about washing your hands of them at all. It's about loving them back into relationship. This is a great teaching for our church family at this moment in time. Because I think we're in a challenging time. I was in a conversation this week where a very wise woman pointed to the challenges of being a church family in transition. And part of what I heard her pointing to was the potential for conflict and dissension in the midst of transition. going there. Again, I want to ask you to pray for and support your leadership team, who are working so very hard to lay the groundwork for a good future and ministry for St. Andrews in the next chapter. Pray for them. Love them. Support them. What I hear in this gospel passage for us is a really important teaching, above and beyond just our relationship with our leadership team, but for all of us, about loving one another and finding ways to walk together during the time of change. Right? What we have here is really, really special. Don't let a season of transition and change cost you the gift that is St. Andrews. Instead, find ways to love each other and walk together into this new chapter, building on what you already have, letting the winds of the Holy Spirit blow in this place and just continue to set it on fire with love. Make St. Andrews an even better witness to the joy and the light and the love of Jesus. Amen.